Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this fifth Sunday in isolation, quarantine, whatever the state you may be in, and welcome especially to the second Sunday in Easter. Before we get started, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, dear Lord, for your presence in our lives, but help us now as you send your Spirit into our hearts to focus on your word and your will for our lives. We say all this in our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to start today by reading today's gospel, and it comes from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it on my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name, the gospel of the Lord. Yes, my friends, here we are, the second Sunday in Easter, as we continue to celebrate our risen Lord as he conquered the grave to live among us. Wow, pretty powerful stuff, and especially in this time of really unprecedented circumstances that I don't care if you're 5 years old or 105, you have never seen something like this. It is just bizarre, and it is unsettling, and it has been very, very difficult for many, many people throughout the whole world. I was wondering, as I read the Gospel of John today to you, as the story picked up after that morning that they went to the tomb and it was empty, if you picked up on something, not so much in the beginning, but as at the end of what I read. Yes, this focuses on Jesus appearing before the disciples, proclaiming who he is, and then the story of Thomas not being present and saying, "Look, until I see it for myself, there's no way I'm believing, just no way." Wow, that seems to me like that can be kind of a very similar circumstance to what we have today and what we're living in today. You see, we're being told to do something because of something that we cannot see. That thing we cannot see is a virus, something that can, if contracted, has the potential to cause incredible circumstances of just distress, which can even lead to death. And we don't want to see that for ourselves, let alone the ones we love, friends and family. So as we look at that, I was wondering if you picked up on what I want to focus on today, the last few verses of that gospel that I read. And it's not so much that when Jesus appeared, which was amazing, and none of them were expecting to the disciples, and it's not even so much on Thomas's initial response when he was told that Jesus was still alive. No, I think you all know that story. You've heard that story over and over again, and I think with merit, we all doubt. But I want to focus more on the way Jesus responds to Thomas, and then Thomas's response, and then what John says is the purpose of why he wrote this gospel, why he took the time to write all this stuff down, and what he deems is super important, not only for today, for then, but also for today. And then I also want to focus, and I'll read in a little bit, the Peter, who was also in that room, his account to what happened here, the way he says it in his first letter, and I'll pick up with the third verse. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while. If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Various trials. I think we're in a very big trial right now, do you not? "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And here, I want you to hear these two verses especially. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of our souls." I want to focus now on Jesus' words to Thomas. When Jesus saw Thomas, he knew exactly what Thomas wanted to see. You see, he knew what would soothe Thomas's fears and his doubts at the time. He didn't come in and say, "Hey, dude, you were with me all that time. Why in the world do you not believe when somebody tells you that I have done this? I am here. Why are you doubting me? Do you know nothing?" No, that's not what he did. That is not what he did. What he did was he said, "Put your fingers here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it at my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Now, if you were Thomas and Jesus came in and you're still stunned, I'm sure, and he tells you these words, and when is it that you believe? When is it that you believe? Is it at that point, or is it when you actually touch the places he says? Do you believe when you hear his voice? Or do you have to physically see it and touch it to believe it? Very interesting. So Thomas's answer is the exact purpose of why John wrote this gospel. Thomas responds to him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. And then Jesus replies to him, and Jesus is kind of curious, and he says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." See, Jesus knows that he was able to show Thomas exactly where he was, exactly what he asked for, to see, to get the response, my Lord and my God. But he also knows that for those of us who follow for years to come, we're not going to necessarily have that opportunity. But what we do have is his word. And the reason John wrote this gospel was to say, and he sums it up in verse 30 and 31. In verse 31, he says, but these are written so that you may, you meaning us, may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, Peter's account is very similar to that, as when he writes to the church, his letter in 1 Peter, and he's writing to a church that is being persecuted simply because they believe that Jesus is their Lord and God. When Jesus said, when we say, my Lord and my Savior, when people, more and more people started to see that in the early church, it started to become a threat. There are countries, my friends, that those words can get you executed today. We live in a country where we can say anything. We can say virtually anything, and there are no consequences. There are also, unfortunately, many places in the world where those words, my Lord and my God, can get you killed. You see, Peter takes it a little bit further, and he tells us what we receive from that when we acknowledge that. He says, though you do not now see me, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. You see, here we have joy. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That's an amazing thing. Because the thing about joy is it does not go away unless you give that away. And when that joy comes from our love in Christ and the love that we know he has for us, then it is outrageous. You see, one of the things they're telling us about this virus, that the reason that we've been placed in our homes and not able to go out and have to a restaurant with our friends, or not be able to go to a little league game and watch our grandson or sons or what hit their first home run, or just simply run around the bases, or we're not even able to send our kids off to school where they can be with friends and teachers and learn. Now, the biggest reason is because this thing we cannot see is so stinking contagious that we might not even know who has it. We might contract it unwillingly, unknowingly, even by being social distanced or whatever they may call. No, that's a fear, my friends, of something that can happen by something we can't see. But I would like to see us replace that fear, and I'm not saying that we should not respect this virus. We should. But I want to replace that fear with joy, the joy of knowing that we can answer my Lord and my God when Jesus calls on our name. And that in doing so, Paul tells us, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. And filled with glory. You see, I don't know about you, but even in my lowest, I mean absolute rock bottom places that I've been, there's always been something inside of me that has told me, you know, Tom, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So I'm asking you, during this time, that you'll focus on those words that Jesus said. that Thomas said to Jesus when he specifically said, "My Lord and my God." And when John says he wrote these things so that many can believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This, my friends, is what we want, not only for ourselves, our loved ones, but it's absolutely what I want for each and every one of you, and each and every one of you who comes in contact with that. So let me play a hymn for you today, talking about rejoicing. My friends, always remember that no one can take away your joy. Not ever. But what we can do is we can give that joy away so that others can experience what we do when we say, "My Lord, my God." Let that sink in. God loves you, and so do I.